still in Mizmor Tzadi Vov, which we spoke about how Hashem matches up the teva of the world with the hashkocha in terms of Tzav Einish. Because you would think that the two don't necessarily work together. One of them, teva, is a set-up system. Hashkocha is something which changes. It changes with the actions of fire itself. Fire itself are worthy, they get tar, and they're not worthy, they get punishment. So, the chiddush is that Hashem works out those two systems together. We're in Mizmor Tzadi Vav. Tzadi Vav. Last time we went through Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Hey, just briefly, we explained that the difference in the perspective of the non-Jews versus the Jews. The non-Jews would believe in Hashem, believe that He may have created the world and left the world, or that the world is sort of some spin-off of the original Creator, but He's not actively involved in the world at every moment. Whereas we believe that no, Hashem is constantly active in the world, and therefore in our perspective it's Shul Hashem Shir Chadash, because it's always a new song, because every moment is a new. And then the second thing we're talking about, that's the first thing we're talking about here. Your perspective is wrong. Your perspective is that God is out of the picture. He once was, we always look at Him in the past. When we say no, Shul Hashem Shir Chadash, Hashem is presently involved, that's number one. Number two is, for those people in the world who don't acknowledge God and this is the Chalal, so for those people, we say Shul Hashem. That's the Chalal, they have to recognize that there is no Hashem. Shul Hashem Chalor, that expands to all those people out there who are not even aware of Hashem's existence. And then we want to explain how that's done in Shul Hashem Baruch Hu Shemoi. We sing Hashem, we praise His name, we bless His name, because we acknowledge that He is the source of blessings presently. We say Vatil Yom Yishotai, which means that we there's always new headlines every day of His Yeshua, even though the headlines are the same things they're pouring. But the idea over here is no, the Chiddush, in fact, the sun doesn't have to rise in the morning. So that's Vatil. The sun is a Chiddush over here. You know what the Chiddush is? The sun rose this morning. That's the Chiddush. Because the sun recreates the world now. That goes to all the other nations who don't even acknowledge Hashem's existence. The Chol Ha'amim, or civilized nations who recognize God's existence, every time this flows off, the miracles He's involved with David.
The key to Hashem alone. Yeah. When it says that they will recognize, that they will realize that He creates everything every second.
Because so there's two different things.
Today, majority of human beings know the government.
Yeah, so there's two sort of groups of kofers. There are those who deny God's existence to Chalal, and then there are those who acknowledge God, who acknowledge that there is maybe some sort of creator, but they wouldn't necessarily look at it and He's presently involved in the world. So that is what the Maimon says himself, that there's two types of people. It's called the
Goyim. When he said, they on which people he speaking this? Because there's two people to recognize. People who doesn't know the Hashem.
Yeah.
And people who know the Hashem but have wrong perception.
Right.
They will have right perception. Right. So what people do you know?
Both. Okay. That's the pocket of the Gimel. Sapu va goyim kibozo. He said the expression of goyim are non-civilization. The expression of amim is civilization. So he says the goyim, they have to recognize Kvoda, they have to recognize that God is around. And then the Amim, which are the more civilized people, that they do recognize that He's the Creator, they have to recognize this Lausa, that He's involved in the world and in His miracles.
Okay.
So that's why you have this sort of like, in each part that we have is one reference to one group and another reference to another group. And then he goes on to say, as described, those people who deny God's existence, well, they're talking about the greatness of God. And those people who had recognized God in his but denied his interaction with the world, that means they know about Elohim, that he is above and he inspires fear in all the intermediaries. Which nowadays, we don't have, I don't know how many people, acknowledge any intermediary gods or angels or anything matter like that, but nowadays what we would call forces of nature, so we think we can personify those forces of nature and say that the forces of nature give us some kind of quantification. They have the gravity fears and trembles in front of Hashem, and the laws of physics tremble in front of Hashem. That's essentially how we would understand it nowadays. There are nations out there who do believe that there's some sort of other forces. Okay, and that's most of the Western culture doesn't believe that. But the Torah law for him, it means that Hashem's fear is zero for the power of the forces. And we claim that the reason you inspire fear on somebody who is subject to your authority. So the thing over here is all the forces in the world are subject to the authority of Hashem.
So where would you put the Indians together?
Yeah, the Indians, they have these Far Eastern cultures. Yeah, so I don't think whenever you deal with the concept of idol worship in Western society, it takes on different perspective. It doesn't take on the perspective of literally bowing down to some, idol. It takes on ideologies, it takes on maybe self-love, self-gratification, self-worship, but it doesn't have the same, once again, the same connotation that it had when it's written. One thing, it's always eternal, so it expresses itself in different ways, but it's just in the literal sense of bowing down to the forces of nature that they attach some deity to those forces of nature, the god of the sea, the god of the sun, the god of the physiology, the whole pantheon. It's not like that.
I mean, the doubt of the god of the sea—they were ultimately bowing to a sham.
No, they believe it was Neptune, or they believe it was spying, or whatever it is, but they didn't have, they had temples to...
They knew
there
was a god of the sea.
Well, they had a god of... Their god of the sea was not Shem. Their god of the sea was some, what's it called, spying, whatever it was, but...
They were waited in Muslims as a god of the
sea. No, so it could be originally,
yes.
Before idol worship was developing, it developed with the notion that give kavod to the vassals of Hashem, and in that sense you're giving honor to Hashem. Which is very interesting because the Svarna explains that's what we understand the pasuk in the Torah and the Seras HaDibur. Because the Seras HaDibur says, Lo yevacha Elohim ha'arim al-panai. Don't have other gods in front of my face. Why does the prophet stay in front of my face? So the Svarna says like this. The Svarna says that essentially the idea of giving kavod to the vassals of the king makes sense to give kavod to the vassals of the king. Expression means king. But not when the king is there. When the king is there in front of you, don't start bowing down to the vassal, you bow down to the king. To bow down to the vassal in front of the king is taking away, at that point in time, taking the company. That's why it says you shouldn't have any God in front of my face. Because God is always there, and you're always in front of his face. That's as far as explains the concept that the legitimate, that legitimate Kayana is not there anymore, because Ahonai. And that's the explanation of the concept. Because Ahonai. But originally, I don't worship did develop in the sense that they realized it was a sham, but afterward they won't forgotten the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they did realize it was called Elochad Elohayim, which means God among gods, above the gods. He called Melech Malki and Malki. But they did realize that maybe it's an arch god, which was a sham, but even then they thought he was someone who did.
And haven't they alive? You can't understand very easily. When you go to the store and buy goods, do you think about owner of the store? Just never. Because you got goods from this person. Is it exactly the same? Is it what God is what I was worshiping? Because when you ask this salesman, sell me this TV, won't have a profit. It is not, but it's exactly like I don't do it. Because if I go from him, you go to the owner who needs to give him permission. Right now it's only he in front of you. And that is exactly what Rabbi Vatanon said. You would like to understand how they think, go to the store, and let someone tell you for one set of price.
Then he goes on to say, all these gods, right, you know, are limited. The Hashem Shemayim also. Hashem's in charge of it. Okay, fine. That's where we left off. Next one. Now, I'll be honest with you, and I'll tell you that the Malbim uses expressions over here that I have no idea what he's talking about. I can read you what he says, but it's just gibberish. Because I don't understand. He uses ambiguous terminology over here. He says that he asks, what difference is it hoz v'hadar? And the difference between hoz and teferis. He says that hoz is something pnimi. It's something about the essence of the essence of his matter. Whereas hadar is a yofi chitzoni, something which you see, the beauty of the outside. Pi is hadar. Okay? Beautiful verse.
So far.
Oz, strength, is something pnimi. Shadavar oz ba'atmusoi, it's essentially strong, whatever oz is. But the teferes, in a chitzoni, so it's part of the nefesh. The teferes, okay, something to glorify the glory from other people. Yeah, okay, so far. Api ze yomar shashem ba'atmun nintel upon hoz v'hadar. Hashem, by him, is found hoz v'hadar. Hashem has a rotzon which is hidden and a rotzon which is galah, and that represents the hod, which is something which is pnimi, yeah, and the rotzon which is galah, something which is revealed, which is hadar. And through this we have a chain of events that now affect his faith on his mikdash. So he has oz in the Paris. Since he had Hashem's hoz, which is something which is panini, something to its essence, and something part of his essence, then it expresses itself in the oz in the Beit HaMikdash, which is something panini. Shabomani the oz, that's how he's magi the world. I guess it's something which is hidden off. It's clear to the world. How should it magi the world? Or the, let's say, the device and the man, the way that Hashem runs the world. Women are hoder, shashal, teferis, and through Hashem's hoder, that they have teferis, shabo yaniga, and hoder, haplis, shabo yitzvar, and hoder, dodo. And that is how Hashem runs it in miraculous fashion. Now, maybe I can say it out. I'm saying it better. There's a famous thing that the one of the mitos of Torah Drash, that you kind of started with, the midah of Aliha to the side, speaking of Ramas. And it used to be that, you check a knife before you shove it. Before you shove the knife, you have to check it running by your fingers, I think it's 18 times, but they're running by to check against it against the skin and against the nails to feel if there's any down meat at the floor. And the morning instead of certain teeth or certain amoira, you test it with the tongue. I'm going to try that at home. But you test it with the tongue to feel if there's any pagan in the thing. Yeah. So, what? It's a very steady hand, because you should have a knife. You make one slight move, you can miss it. So, the time of Lashon says that the tongue is using as a what's it called? As an expression. The tongue feels out a mistake, a flaw in the story. Sometimes the person who's thinking in mind, they have a very good story. And you tell them, okay, tongue gets far. And then they start to speak it out, it doesn't make any sense. Or a person says over a shear, a person hears a shear, and then they think they got the shear, and they tell them, okay, well, let's send the shear, and then they start to tell it over, and they're like, oh, well, something sort of about, yeah, I don't have a clue.
You also said it's correct. You keep a motion around Shapiro.
Oh, you do keep a motion around Shapiro.
Maybe they do. That's what we think. That our speech never reflect 100% truth. Not because you try to hide. Only noise. It is why Hashem told Abraham, listen, voice of Sarah. Not words of Sarah, but voice of Sarah. It's only truth. This sharper than all this stuff. Our tongue could, by definition, could not reflect the truth. It is like
the So my thought, okay, now the Judaism side, I think I have a clear picture, that the Vahab of Hashem, this is what we see, the whole thing is more about, the whole thing is more, I think it's more and more about Vahab of Hashem in terms of miraculous Vahab, evidence from the Vahab of Hashem, and then the type of Vahab which is done behind the scenes. Yeah. So the Vahab of Hoth and Oath are pini, the thing is more hidden. So that is, in a sense, you know, you have a volcano erupt somewhere. Yeah? So there are, you can give all kinds of explanations why, or maybe you can't give an explanation why it happened, but you think this is part of nature. You don't look at it as, okay, there's a war point going on over here. This is part of, you know, there are natural events. The hurricane happened. So therefore, these are natural events. We don't associate that with car damage. If you would have a lightning bolt come down and, you know, consume some evildoer as the most positive, then all of a sudden you'd be like, whoa, that is, you know, that's the hand of a chef. Yeah? So that's the two midas over here. There's the hod, which is the pini mida, and the oz, which is pini, which is our hub that we have in the world. Volcanoes, hurricanes. These are things you can sort of pini oz. It's maybe it's natural. And then there's the mida of the hagar, which is something which you can see, the parent. And teferet, which is the parent, which is when Hashem goes sort of out of his way, he changes the normal system, and he acts in a fashion which is clear evidence of. This is etba lokini. This is the hand of Hashem. Okay, we'll continue.